To begin the current daf lama dal, we begin the new mesechtas midas, which, as the title of the parak, is the measurement that of the harabais, the beis hamikdash, those which are related to the avoda of these mesechtas related to the seder of kadosh. So we begin with the first parak b'shleish mekaymis, which we already explained this mishnah and its basic format in the beginning of mesechtas tamid, where the mishnah begins describing elements relating to the Beis HaMikdash and its structure, which then the next parak goes on to the theme of the actual the premium measurements. So the Mishnah begins B'shleif Shemekaymus in three places. HaKahanim Shemim B'Beis HaMikdash. The Kahanim watched, although it wasn't necessary, but it's a way of this honor to safeguard in the Beis HaMikdash, which they would do this at night time. There was Beves Avtinis, which was the place where they compounded the Keteris, the incense. Beves Hanitzitz, the house of the spark, the ray. Or Beves HaMoikid, which is the house of the fire, where there were these two chambers in the Beves HaMoikid that were built in the sanctified part, and there were two that were in the chol part. Now, Levim be'esem echad makom, and the Levim, they watched in 21 places, which in the first parak of Masechtas Tamid learns out from a pasuk, and we explained over there either that there were three places that the Kahanim watched, besides that the Levim watched in 21 other places, which were for some total of 24 places that were watched, or in those three places that the Kahanim watched were included in the 21 places that the Levim watched, which there were three places, essentially, whether part of the 21 or not, that the Kahanim were watching on the top and Levim were watching on the bottom. What are the 21 places? Says the Mishnah as follows. Chamisha al Chamisha Shari Harabais. Five Levim would watch by the five gates of the Temple Mount, which is that whole mountain. Then there was five gates by the Harabais. Arba al Arba Pinais Mitaycha. Then you had four Levim watching by the four corners on the inside of the walled area of the Harabais. Then you had Chamisha al Chamisha Shari Azar. You had five watching by the five gates of the Azar. Now, although we're going to learn later on, there actually were seven gates in the Azar, but the Gemara Masechtas Tamid on Daf Chavav explained that there were two that were near other gates, and therefore those two didn't need to be watched, and therefore only five out of the seven had watchmen. And you had Arba al Arba Pinaseh Mibachutz. Then you had four Levim watching on the four corners of the gates of the Azar on the outside, which the Gemara in Tamid explained. The reason for that is because in the Azar itself, there's no sitting down. So they had to watch on the outside in case they had to rest. But by the first thing that we were speaking about, by the Harabais, by the Temple Mount, that you could sit on the Harabais when they were tired, and therefore they would watch on the inside. Now, including the Shari Azara, where the Beis HaNitzitz and the Beis HaMoikid, and the Beis HaTinis was from one of the corners, and therefore that explains where we find that those three places that the Kahanim watched were from the 21 places that Levim also watched. The Echad, the Lishkas HaKarbon, you had one Levi watching by the chamber of the carbon, which that's either the Lishkas HaTloim, which we're going to describe later on, the chamber of the lambs, or it was actually a special chamber where they would inspect the carbonas, making sure that they don't have any blemishes. Ve'echad Lishkas HaPareches, one was the chamber of the curtain where they would weave the pareches. Ve'echad L'chayr Beis HaKapares, and a Levi would watch in the area behind the Beis HaKapares. Kapares is the covering of the Aron, which in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they called the Kodesh HaKadoshim Beis HaKapares. So there was a chamber that was in the west, which there was a small little hole in the western wall, which opened up into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, opening up into that chamber behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and that chamber was open to the Azar behind it. That allowed all the slaughtering of Kachim to be done over there, because it had to be Pesach El Moed. And the way you have an entry into the El Moed, that small little hole which opened into that chamber, which then opened up into the area behind that, as the Gemara explains in Perek Ezem Mekayimet. So the Gemara continues with Mishnah Beis, that Ish Harabais, the one in charge of safeguarding the Harabais, he had all these sentries that would watch throughout the night, and he would go around to each sentry, to each guard. There were torches lit in front of him, and when they went around, any watchman that doesn't stand up, so Ish Harabais, so the one in charge of the Harabais, this man, he would say Shalom Alecha, peace unto you. He would greet him. So Nikr Shuyashin, if it was recognizable that the one who was watching was sleeping, Chayv to be makli, he would hit him with a stick, Vershus Hayula Listrav as Kasus, and he even had permission to burn his clothing. And there's no problem about Baal Tashchis because of what's known as Hefka Bezen Hefka. The courts have the rights to take over ownership of a person's money. The Hey Maimon, people would say, Makol Bazar, what's that noise that we hear in the courtyard? Right? They would say, Kol ben Levi leiku begadav nisrof, and it's the sound of a Levi who's getting hit and his garments are being burned. Sheyashlai al mishmar, obviously he's sleeping on his post. Now, Rabbi Lezim Yaakov Emes says, "Pamachas matzu esachi imi esachi am imi yash." And once they found my uncle, my mother's brother, sleeping, v'sarfes kesuza, and they burnt his clothing. Which, first of all, it's teaching us an actual incident that had happened to see that that's actually the ruling. And additionally, it's coming to tell us that the anonymous Tana, the Mishnayos and Masechtas Midas, are Rabbi Lezim and Yaakov. So we continue with the third Mishnah, which goes back and explains, which we mentioned all the different places that there were, and that those are the places that the Levim watched. So he said the Chamisha Sharm Hoyul Harabais. There were five entry, there were five gates to the Harabais, which there was a Levi watching on each one. What are these five gates to the Temple Mount, which is the widest perimeter of the, what we're talking about in this area of Yerushalayim, which was this Harabais, which was the Beis Hamikdash was built on it. So he had Shnei Shari Chulda Min Adram. You had the two gates of Chulda from the south. Now, why was it called Shari Chulda? It's because these gates were in the primary part of the Harabais. As the Mishnah teaches later on, that most of the chambers were from the southern part. So that was called Chulda, just like a weasel, which is called a Chulda, dwells in the primary foundation of the house. Or another interpretation is because Chulda Hanaviya, Chulda the prophetess, she sat between those two gates, and therefore they called those two gates the Shari Chulda. And Misham Shek Knesa V'Yitzia, the functionality of these two gates were for coming and going, because, like we said, most of the structure was in the southern part, so the people would come in and out from those gates. Then we have Kipainois Min Amayrev. This gate was small, and that's the word nois, nanus. And additionally, the word keep, which is kepi, because since the divine presence is in the west, so this gate was considered the head of all the gates, and because kepi is means Reish in Greek. So that's Kippa Inois, the small main gate, which was from the west, was Meshamesh Knesset Bitzia, also functioned as coming and going, coming in and out of that gate. Then you had Tadim and Atzafin. Tadim means either a terminology of height, because as the Mishnah tells us later on, all the gates had lintels, which had doorposts and the top, besides the gate of Tedi, which were two stones laying one on the other, like a inverted V, like an A. And therefore the top part in the middle was very high. Or Teddy means a terminology of bowing down, because these two stones that were laying on each other looked like they were bowing down to each other. And that gate, Lahayu Meshamesh Klum, didn't function for anything besides if someone had carry and had to go out that way, that was the only thing it functioned for. And then you had Shahar Mizrahi, the eastern gate going on to the Temple Mount, Olav Shushanav Habir Tzura. It had engraved in it the figure of Shushan Habir, of the town, of the main city of Shushan. As the Gemara explains the Perek Shtei Alechem, the reason why, either because that the Jews should know from where they came from the Persians and they should be subjugated to them, or they should have the fear of the kingdom on them by seeing the Shushan Habir as a figure. Now, Shabbai, through that gate, the eastern gate, Kohen Gadol, that was service of Parah, the Kohen Gadol that would burn the Paraduma, Bechomasadeh, and all those who helped him in burning it, as the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Parah, that the elders would go first to Har Mishkat Har Zesim, Yitzim Har Mishkat, that's the gate that they went through to go to the Mount of Olives, to Har Zesim, that was with the function of the Shahar Mizrahi. Then we continue with Mishnah Dalad. Shivasharm Hoyu Ba'azara. Like we mentioned before, there were seven gates in the Azara, although, like I said, Levim only watched by five of the seven gates in the courtyard. Now we're kind of moving more inward, more internal into this area that we're discussing. First we're discussing Harabais, then further in were the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. You had Shlesha Betzafin, three gates in the north, which is essentially the right of a person walking on, because we're going from east to west. Shlesha Bedarm, three in the south. Becha B'mizach, one in the east, and explains the Mishnah as follows. Shebedarim in the south was Shahar Delek, the gate of the kindling, which was through that gate that they would bring in the wood for the pyre, for the fires on the Mizbeach. Sheni Lo Shahar Karban, the second gate after that was the gate of the carbon, which through that gate they would bring the carbon tamid. Or some say it's actually that the path that Avram took his son Yitzchak on Har Moriah, which is what this mountain is, that through that place, that became this Shahr. And Shlish Shahar Mayim, the third gate was the gate of the water, which later on the Mishnah is going to explain, that it's through that gate that they bring the pitcher of water for the Nisach HaMayim on the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Now Shabbat Mizrach, the gates of the Azara in the east, were Shahr Nikonor. Why was it called Shaar HaNikkeder? Because it was either the name of a man that brought these gates from Alexandria of Egypt, and there were certain miracles that happened for him, as the Gemara says in Masechet Yuma, therefore they called it after him. Or actually, in the Yerushalmi in Shkalim, it says that when the Greeks won over the Chashmainam, so there was one officer from the Greeks, his name was Nicodemus, he would blaspheme against the Jewish people old times, but therefore when the Chashmainam then and they conquered the area, they cut off his head and his hands and his feet, and they hung it on the eastern gate, and there was called Shaar HaNikkeder. Now, Oshtei L'Shochas HaYulai. Now, in this eastern gate of the Azara, there was two chambers, Achas Miminev, Achas Masmela, one to the right of Shaar HaNikkeder, one to the left. Achas Lishkas Pinchas HaMalbash, one was the chamber of Pinchas the clothier, which, that's where the Kohanic garments were. And the Yerushalmi says that the reason why it was called Pinchas, because he would get them dressed, and all future ones who did that were called after the first one who was called Pinchas. And Ba'achas Lishkas Eisei Chavitin, another one was the chamber of those who would make the Chavitin, which that's where they made the Chavitin with the Kohen Gadol, who he would, every day he would sacrifice a tenth of an ephah of flour, half in the morning and half in the evening. Continues the Mishnah Hey, Shebetzaf, in the gates in the northern part of the Azara, where Shaar HaNitzitz was the gate of the ray, like we mentioned before. And it was like a pavilion, mean to say a pavilion is an enclosed area that's open on the fourth side, where most of it is open, which like a pavilion is open on the fourth side. Here also this Shaar HaNitzitz was on the fourth side, basically open with openings and windows. Vali Benuya Gabov, and it had a second story built on top of it. Shekahanu Shemim Milmal, like we mentioned before, that this was one of the 21 places, and this was one of the places that the Kahanim would watch in. The way it was is because Kahanim would watch from the top, as the Gemara in the first parak of Talmud explains from a pasuk. Levim Milmal, and Levim would watch on the bottom. And besides the opening it had to the Azar, it also had an opening to the Chel, which is the unconsecrated area coming out of the Azar towards the more exterior part of the Har HaBayis. Now, the question is, in the first Perek of Masechet Tamim, the Gemara asks that why was there one Shemer for the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara explains why. Why didn't ask also by the Beis HaNitzitz, which has two openings, why would there only one watchman? So the reason is that Beis HaNitzitz only needed one watchman because on the outer part, there wasn't so much function, therefore there was no necessity of watching. The one watchman was by the one going into the Azar. Now, Shein Loi Shahar Karban, the second gate after that was the gate of the Karban, and Shlish Loi Beis HaMikdash, the third one was the house of the Mikdash, which the next mission is going to explain, that really the whole Beis HaMikdash was in the Chel part, which is out of the Azara, and the reason why that was in the Chel, because that's where the Kahanim would sleep over there. It's just that its chambers, half were built in the sanctified part and half were built in the unsanctified part. As the next Mishnah continues, Mishnah Vav, Arba L'Shachas Hayi BeBeis HaMikdash, there were these four chambers in the Beis HaMikdash that had the place of the fire, because there was a big fire, they were always warming up the Kahanim. Kikitanias Pesuchas L'Chakan, these four chambers were like this, like booths opening up into the main open area. Now, Shtayim B'Kodesh V'Shtayim B'Chel, like we said, two of the chambers were in the sanctified area, and two were in the unsanctified, meaning the two in the southern part were those that were in the sanctified area. Now, V'Rashi Pispasin, and there were these beams that were mounted B'Kodesh L'Chel, since part of it was unsanctified, part of it was we had to know which one you could sit in, which one you can't, and so on. So there were these beams that separated between the sanctified part of this Beis HaMikdash and to the unsanctified. Now, Mahayim Mishamshes, and what were these four chambers in the Beis HaMikdash? What did they function for? So, Maravis Duraim is the southwestern corner, that chamber, he Haisa Lishkas Taloy Karban. That was where the Karbanis were, which, as the Rush discusses at length, but the main idea one could see, because although there seems to be a contradiction from a Mishnah elsewhere, one could see that although the Lishkas Lechem Apanim was in the southeastern corner, and that of the Avnei Mizbeach, as we're going to shortly describe, was in the northeastern, and the Beis HaTfilah was in the northwestern, the Lishkas HaTloim, it could be described like we're saying over here, Maravis Deraimis. On the other hand, elsewhere it could be described as Tzfainis Maravis, because it was actually somewhere in the middle. So depending where you're coming from, it's going to describe it. Our mission is describing it if one is coming from the north, so then one would see it coming from the Beis HaTfilah as if it is, and that's why our mission describes it as Maravis Deraimis, as in the southwest. But it actually was somewhere in the middle, although more towards the south. Then Deraimis Mizrachis, the booth that was in the southeast. That was the chamber of the lechem apanim where they made the showbreads that were put on the shulchan every Shabbos. Mizrach tzafaynis, the northeastern corner was Bagunzi b'nei chashmonayis abni hamizbeach shashak tzamal chayavan. That's where the people from the family of the chashmonayim, they took the broken pieces of the mizbeach, which the Greeks had desecrated. So they took those parts and they concealed it in that in the Beis HaMikdash in the northeastern corner. And tzafaynis maravis, and the northwestern corner was Bayard mul Beis HaTfilah. That's where they would go down to the house of the immersion, where there was a mikvah further down beneath the surface. They got down there through that northwestern corner. Those were the four different corners that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, continue with Mishnah Zion, explaining what we mentioned before, that they were discussing the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Mishnah, Shnaim Sha'arim Hoy LaBeis HaMikdash. There were these two gates for the Beis HaMikdash, for the house of the fire. Echad Petuach L'Chel, one opened up into the Chel, the unconsecrated area of the Har Bayis. Echad Petuach L'Zara, and one opened up into the courtyard. Now, Amr Behudi says, Zeshayi Petuach L'Zara, this that opened up into the courtyard, Pishpish Katan Hayaloi. So it had a small gate that was within the larger gate, and the utility of that was Shabayi Nechnas and Livlish Esazara. They would use that to go and inspect the courtyard to see if any of the vessels were anything was missing, as the Gemara says in the first Pekam Sechtes Tamid, where they didn't want to use the main entryway, but rather they used a small little door to get in. That was the utility of this small little entryway, which is in the larger gate of the Beis HaMikdash going into the Azar. Continues the next Mishnah Ches. Beis HaMikdash, again, this continued to describing the house of the fire, was a keeper, was a dome. Ubayis Gadlahayan, and it was a large area, like we said, where you had these, even the four corners of it had these different chambers. And it was Mukav Revan Shalevan. It was surrounded with these blocks that would be coming out of the wall, so in the entire interior of the perimeter of the Beis HaMikdash. And the elders of that family who was serving in the Beis HaMikdash that day, they would sleep there on these slabs of brick that would be coming out of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. The keys of the courtyard were in their possession, as the Mishnah continues to explain in the next Mishnah. But the younger ones of the Kahanim, Ishk, is either Ksusa, his garment, or Kista, his pillow, but they would sleep with their pillow on the ground over there in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Mishnah Tes describes, like we just mentioned, Umakum Hayisham Amalama. Now, there was a place over there in the Beis HaMikdash that was an Amma squared, the tablet of Shashayish, and it was a tablet of marble. I mean, one of the tiles, although the whole Temple Mount was actually covered with marble tiles, but all of it was attached with cement, with the lime, but this tile, which was Amma squared, was not attached, and it was hollow underneath. And v'tabasei sekavua, but there was a ring attached to that tile on the top, so that one could be able to pick it up with that ring to take the keys that were underneath, because beneath it on the ground was v'shalshalis. It was a chain, shemavteches ha'itluz, but where the keys to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Azar, were hanging from it. When it came time to close up the Beis HaMikdash, so they would pick up the tile with that ring, which was attached to it. But not less mafteches min hashashals, and then they would take the keys from the ring, from the chain. And then the coin would lock up from the inside of the Beis HaMikdash. And at that time, before the night time when they had to wake up to start watching, at that time the Levi was sleeping on the outside, meaning out of the gate, meaning in the Har Bayis part. When they finished closing up the Beis HaMikdash for the day, then they would put the keys back onto the chain, and then they would put the tile back in its place. And then Nusin, either again, Kesusa or Kista or Lav, then they would put his pillow on that tile, and he would go to sleep on it to make sure that no one's taking the keys of the Yazar that is locked for the night. Now, if Iru Keri Be'echad, and this is where the Kohanim were sleeping at night, if during the night time one of the Kohanim have a seminal emission, has a Tumas Keri, so Yetzav Ha'iluchay Ben Mesiba, then he would go out and he would leave through this path underground, Ha'ilechas Tachas Abira, which Bira is, at the Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Yuma explains, either means a place in the Temple Mount which is called Bira, or another interpretation is that the whole Beis HaMikdash was called Bira. But this path went beneath the Beis HaMikdash. V'aneres dolkem mekan mekan, there were candles lit on either side so that a person could see. Atru megila Beis HaTfilah, until he reached underground, the place of the immersion for his Tumah of Keri. Now, Rabbi Lezmin Yaakovim, he said, b'mesiba alechas tachas achel, with the path, the underground path, he would go underneath the Chel, which was near the northern gate of the Shahar Tadi in the north, Yitzav Hoylich LeBetadi, he would leave through that northern gate of Tadi. That was the whole purpose of that, which he would leave from there, because it wasn't used for anything else, because he, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, held that if someone had the Tumas Keri, he wouldn't go back into the Beis HaMikdash, but rather he would actually have to leave and go out that way into the out of the area where he was, that he shouldn't be here because of the Tumas Keri that he had. Hanulach B'Shalash HaMakayimus B'Shal, return to the first parak of Masechet Tzmidus, parak B'Shalash HaMakayimus, which spoke about the three places that Kahan watched and 21 places that Levim watched, thus describing for us the a lot of the areas that were in the Har Bayis and the Azara, which then continues with the second parak, which gets more into the specifics of the actual measurements, the title of this Masechta, going into the second parak Har Bayis. So Mishnah begins, Har Bayis, the Temple Mount. The reason why it was called this was because, like the Pasuk says, Yeh Har Bayis HaShem B'Reish HaHarim. See that there's a significance to the mountain. So the Har Bayis, the Temple Mount, Hayehemeis Amma Al Hemeis Amma. It was 500 Amma squared. And in that area of the Har Bayis was the area called the Chel, and the Ezes Nashim going further in than the Azar itself, which was from the Ezes Yisrael and on, and then you have the Heichal, the sanctuary itself. And an allusion to this 500 squared Amas is in the Pasuk in Shemais Chav Zayin, which says, Oirech HaChatzer Meiba Amma, the length of the courtyard was 100 Amma, V'roichiv Chamishim HaChamishim, the width was 50 by 50. What do you mean by 50? It's 100 by 50. What's saying that it's 50 by 50? It comes to teach us that the courtyard of the Mishkan was 1/50th of the Har HaBayis. How so? If one takes 500 squared and makes strips of 50 by 50, you're going to have 100 of these strips of 50 by 50. That comes out that the courtyard of the Mishkan was 1/50th of the Har HaBayis, which was this 500 square amas. Says the Mishnah, Rubai, most of the structures of the chambers on the Har HaBayis was min adarm, was in the southern part of these 500 square amas. That's what the pasuk says in Yecheskel, that by enchin al har gavoy ma'od v'olav kemivne ir mi negev, that it was like built up like a town from the southern part, because in the southern part were where most of the chambers were in the Har HaBayis. Sheni lim in the mizuch, second to that was on the eastern side, which the eastern side was not as built up as in the southern part. And shlichi lim in the tzav, and then the third most was in the northern part. And meyutim in ma'ar, the least was in the west. Says the Mishnah, Mokum Shayriv Midasik, is the place which had most of the measurements of the chambers, from Hayriv Tashmisha. That's where most of the utility was, because it was in those chambers and in those rooms where they would use, and therefore that's where the more there was, that's where the more traffic there was. Says the Mishnah Beis, Kala Nechnas Lahar Bayis. So whoever entered into the Temple Mount, if he had something to do on the Har HaBayis, and he had to get to a certain place, even if he would go to the left, he would be closer to his place. He was not allowed to go to the left to get to the place in the closer way. Rather, he would have to go to the right and go counterclockwise. Nechnasin derech yemin, you would go into the right, umakifin, and then go around until he would reach the place that he had to go, and then the yaitim derech small, then would come back, go out through the left side, again going counterclockwise. Everything had to go to the right, coming in and going out. And we learned that out from the Melechas of the Mishkan, which it says that Meshlesha Painim Mizracha, like the Pasuk says in Melechim Aleph, that says Painim four times. Why say that? Because to tell you, Kopina Shatta Painim, wherever you're turning in the courtyard in the Har HaBayis, you should always go to the right side, like the Gemara says, Yuman Daf Yud Zayin Beis, when someone comes to the top of the Mizbech, you go to the right, you always go to the right, which is essentially counterclockwise. Chutz Mimisha Aradavar, except for somebody that something bad happened to him. Shahumakav Lismal, then he goes around the left side, which is when he comes into the Har HaBayis, he goes to the left. And then people ask him, Malchamakav Lismal, why are you going around clockwise? Why are you going to the left? And he tells them, Shani Avil, because I'm a mourner. And then they would tell him, oh, Hashaykh Mabayis say Yinachamencha, the one who dwells in this house should console you. Or he says, Shani Munud, because I'm excommunicated. So then they would tell him, Hashaykh Mabayis is there, whoever dwells in this house, referring to Hashem. And the Gir says, Yitim Balibam Vikarbucha, that Hashem should put in their heart that they should make you come close again. That's the Remeir. To which only Rabbi Yisi said to him, wait a second, if you're saying that, that Hashem should put into their heart to make you closer to them, Asisem Kilo Avro Lav Esaden, you're making the court as if they violated something, as if they inappropriately distanced that person, and that the tefillah should be that it should make their heart come close to him. That's not the case. They excommunicate him for a reason. Rather, the prayer should be that they should tell him, Hashaykh Mabayis Azeh, the one that dwells in this house, Yitim Bali Bach, should put into your heart, V'tishmal Adivi Chaveircha, that you should listen to the words of your colleagues, that you should be submissive in your heart to hear the words of your friends who you obviously violated something and therefore they excommunicated you, and be karvucha, and then they'll make you come closer again. That would be an appropriate prayer for them to tell him that they find out that the reason why he's going to the left is because he's menuda, because he's in a state of excommunication.